The tide turning is now holding enough volume of water and the fish would be there.
Everybody knows that just before that Westley arrives, the fishing is often very, very good.
When pressure drops, the ladder expands and that sort of makes the feel fish like bloated and uncomfortable.
You're listening to The Deep Dive. I'm Vanessa Green. Each week, we explore the world of South African fishing together, sharing expert advice, different ways to cast and catch, and the latest buzz from the water. Let's get into it.
Wind, tides, barometric pressure, moon phases, ocean energy. These are just some of the things that need to line up if we are to go out and catch some fish. It's going to improve our strike rate. This is what we look for. This is what we hope to fall in our favor when we look at those weather apps. However, that doesn't always go to plan. We've got the day plan. We've got the weekend plan. We need to get out. We need to get our fix. It's our day off. It's our only chance to go and fish. So what do you do when these elements are just simply against us? Well, you listen to The Deep Dive and you go and get the advice from the experts. And that's what we have done. We have pulled in the answers from Dean Reddy, John Otto, and Benny Pillay to answer these questions of how to face these challenges, how to combat these, and how to get out there and still have a successful strike rate. So we're going to talk about three major aspects in this show. We are talking about the wind, we're talking about the tides, and we are talking about barometric pressure. If you are out there and you are fishing and these are really not in your favor, you're in the wrong tide, the wind is coming through at some serious gusting pace, or the fish are just simply not feeding because the barometric pressure is just not lining up where you need it to be for that specific time that you have to fish. We're going to get into it with the guys that has experienced it all. They have experienced all these climate conditions and this is the advice they are going to give us. So let's start off with the tides, whether the tides are going to be in your favor or not. Fishing high tides, fishing low tides, how to find the tide, and even how to fish the tide if it's really just not in your favor, right? So let's start it off with Benny Pillay. So Benny is going to tell us exactly how to face the challenges of the tide when you simply just not plan for it.
How's it, Vinesh? Excellent question, bud. So I'm going to break this down into two scenarios. One is edible fishing on reef, and then the other one is non-ed fishing. So when it comes to tide, it's very important knowing whether it's a neap or a spring tide. That's very key. But in this scenario, we didn't check it. We just, for whatever reason, we just made our way down to the beach. And now we are starting off with edible fishing and fishing for reef. So I get down to the beach and I realize, the reef that I was catching, all this bronze bream and cob and blacktail and whatever reef species, rock art and stuff, is now exposed and there's not a lot of water in it. So my first thing to do is to look for a advantage point. I'll run up to a dune, a road, or anything that gives me a bit of height, or any place that gives me a bit of height that I can actually scan and look for reef that's beyond the reef that I was fishing. So once I see, okay, there's a reef here that's within casting distance, I'll make my way down there to that reef. And then while I'm walking to that reef, and remember, while I'm on top there, I'm now using landmarks to mark reef one, reef two, reef three. So I'll use, whether it's a tree stump that's on the beach, whether it's a house, whether it's a banana tree, whether it's a whatever that's on the shoreline that gives me a bit of a marker. So I'll use that and I'll mark that reef one, reef two, reef three, or whatever, how many reefs there is. And once I mark that, I'll then forward, make my way down. But as I'm walking to that specific reef, I'm still scanning the shoreline, scanning the reef that's around me, watching the reef that's now exposed and seeing how healthy it is, how much coral it has on it, how much life, marine life it has on it. And while I'm walking down there, I'll make a mental note of this and use obviously landmarks again to know that is a high tide ground. So once I get down to start fishing the reef that's deeper and the tide starts to turn and push me off whatever, maybe it's I'm standing on a break, maybe I'm standing on a sandbank and doesn't give me enough time now on that spot, I will then come out from there because obviously I can't reach the reef anymore and I will go down to the reef that was once shallow, is now with the tide turning, is now holding enough volume of water and the fish would be there, obviously with the higher tide. So that is scenario number one. Scenario number two, we're fishing for non-edibles on the beach and a mate told me, look, I caught this, I was catching sandies here last night or during the day on this bank, on the specific bank here by the bluebird, for example. And I get down here and I realize, it's low tide. And he was catching it on this bank on high tide where there was a lot volume of water, much more volume of water. So then now I'll therefore look again for a vantage point, try to get onto a dune to start looking at formation. So now I'll look for an area that I can wade through a trough or through and get onto that bank and then fish a bank beyond that bank. Once I find that spot, I'll get down there, fish that bank that's in the back, and then obviously it's going to push me off with the tide turning. So once the tide turns and it pushes me off that bank, I'll see if there's enough volume of water and if the bank is playing good and the formation is excellent, I'll fish that front bank that I was actually waiting on. But if it doesn't look so good and there's no bank there and it's too shallow, the next best thing for me to do is pack my stuff up, jump into the vehicle and move to a different location. I'll look for maybe a pier, maybe a point that goes out to sea that gives me a bit of distance and a deeper volume of water. So yeah, I hope this helps you out, and tight lines.
Thank you, Benny. Now that is some insightful advice. Guys, we are going to be doing so much more with Benny. We're going to deep dive into so many more aspects, and this is not just on the podcast. You're also going to find this on our TikToks, on our YouTube channel. So follow us on whatever channel you get your content from. You're going to have a lot more intel coming through from the two of us. And of course, you can catch more of this on our KZN Fishing Report, where that's going to get you onto the sweet spot even if those tides are not in your favor. Now, what do we do about the wind? Well, let's chat with John Otto. John's been on our show several times with some great advice. He manages a lot of teams. He's got the guys out there when they are fishing competition. He's faced those elements where they are fishing, they know the wind is coming through in the next hour or two, they still got 6 more hours to fish. This is the advice you would get from someone that manages all these anglers.
One must never let the wind ruin your fishing day. Very often, when the wind comes, and it comes powerfully, like it happens here in Natal, where you've got 3 or 4 days of a northeasterly and then a strong westerly, everybody knows that just before that westerly arrives, the fishing is often very, very good. Fish understand that the weather is changing. They know that food is going to be scarce for a while, and they better eat while eating is good. But even if you've missed that little window period before the big west comes, you can still fish in the west. No matter which coast you're fishing on, there are rocky outcrops and there are beach points that protrude further into the ocean. And if you are standing on the northern side of that protrusion or outcrop, you are sheltered to some extent from the southwesterly wind. And you can find a quiet corner where you can still fish pretty normally without being blown off your feet or sandblasted. Very often fish will also retreat into quieter water to get away from excessive water movement. They will come around a corner and in their own sense get out of the wind. So you're out of the wind, the fish is out of the wind, and you're in the same little bay which is protected from the westerly. Sounds like a pretty good recipe for success for you, not for the fish.
Thank you, John. That was very useful information. Now, guys, there is another podcast that we have under the deep dive. It's called The Mindset of a Fisherman. That was done also with John Otto. If you need to get into that right frame of mind when you go out there fishing, irrespective of these elements, well, you can find that podcast under our deep dive channel under ecr.co.za. Just click on podcast and you will find that and a few more episodes with John Otto. Now, let's get into the barometric pressure. This really affects the way the fish feeds, and it's something that we may not have seen before we went out fishing. It's one of those things that are slightly overlooked. We can see the tide, we can feel the wind. Do we know the barometric pressure? No, that we rely on technology. If that technology is not available, well, this is some advice from Dean Reddy.
Okay, so Vinesh, let's chat about barometric pressure, right? So barometric pressure is the weight of the air pressing down on the Earth's surface. This is measured in millibars. So in a nutshell, high pressure, normally you would see clear skies, it's calm weather, and it's usually above like 1020 mb. And then your low pressure, you would find cloudy conditions, windy, rainy, or stormy, and that's usually below 1009, somewhere there. And then you got a falling pressure, which is a sign of a cold front or bad weather that's approaching. And then you got a rising pressure, which indicates that this is after the storm and it's indicating clear skies. So basically, how does this pressure affect the fish, the fish's physiology? Fish are like extremely sensitive to pressure changes because of their swim bladders. The swim bladders, they use to control their buoyancy. So if we think of the swim bladder like an internal balloon, right? When pressure drops, the bladder expands and that sort of makes the fish like bloated and uncomfortable. When the pressure rises, the bladder compresses and the fish feel heavier and they sort of sink slightly. So this physical discomfort that the fish sort of feels directly affects how actively they feed. So why do fish feed freely during falling pressure? This is one of the best times to fish. So as a cold front approaches and the pressure drops gradually, the fish sense a change through their lateral lines and their swim bladders, and it's like an instinctive signal that a storm is coming. So they know from experience that feeding opportunities will be limited once this front hits. So they go into a sort of feeding mode or feeding frenzy, and they become very aggressive and less cautious, so to speak. So this short window, sometimes it lasts between 6 and 12 hours, can produce the most epic smashes and the most bites. So that's something that you always need to look out for. But also, let's discuss, so what happens when we're fishing in poor conditions and the pressure is bad? And what do we need to do to get a bite? So this is just some of the tips and tricks that I've figured out over the years. So when the pressure is high or the pressure is too low, I tend to start fishing deeper sheltered areas. I target structure, drop-off, deep channels and gutters, reefs, ledges, where the pressure changes are less drastic. And then it's worth downsizing your baits. So smaller, natural-looking soft baits, use strong-scented baits and movement to activate the fish's senses. So when I say movement, I'm saying you could add glow beads, you could add bass rattles. You want stuff that vibrates so that it attracts the fish. Fish are lethargic, so finesse presentations definitely work best during this period. And then fish early or late, low light conditions improves chances. So I would fish very early in the morning and late in the afternoons. And then I think the most important thing is to stay patient and be persistent. And eventually the bite will come if you're doing all of the above. So in a nutshell, that's what I do when times are rough and we have to fish in poor conditions. Hope this helps.
Now that has got to be the greatest explanation of barometric pressure. Thank you so much, Dean. Now we can understand how Dean always finds that fish. If you want to see some of those catches, check out his social media page under Dean Reddy. This guy's got some real jaw-dropping catches, and this is probably exactly the theories he uses to go and get that fish. So guys, I hope you found this insightful. This is where we really deep dive into these topics. And now don't forget, on our podcast channel, we've got more episodes where we get into greater detail with moon phases, with tides, with bag and size limits. There's a whole string of podcasts out there. And if you want to find out the latest news of what's going on, should those weather conditions tend to be in your favor? Well, you know, you can find that on our KZN fishing reports. Once again, under the podcast, under ecr.co.za. So look out for the next deep dive where we are bringing in the experts to get you into the right feeding zones to increase your strike rates. With Angler News, there really shouldn't be any reason why you cannot get those rods bending. With that being said, until the next one.
That's it for this week on The Deep Dive. If you're after the latest catches and hotspots, don't miss the Angler News SA podcast. Until next time, let's fish for the future.